News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I apologize. That is on me. That is poor clock management. Okay, I had the ball. There was like 2.5 minutes left to play, and I unfortunately held on too long, and I got called for a delay of game. It is 8 minutes after five at News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, I was talking to people down in our sales department, and they took great delight because I came in today and I walked in and I told him, I said, if you feel any shaking of the floor, if the Richter scale starts going off, it's only me walking, self-mocking my own weight gain, which has been the worst part of the last 2 years. And I'm going to do the ideal you thing if they'll take me into the program. And you know what sucks about it, self-indulgent radio for a second, what sucks about it is I was like the perfect weight for years and years, and nothing would move me from that weight. And then in light of what I've been through the past couple of years, like the body chemistry changed or something, and suddenly I find myself looking like the Hindenburg, and it's a very uncomfortable position. You know that feeling when you've got all of your clothes and they don't fit anymore, and you've got one pair of fat jeans that you saved and some really big Mau Mau shirts that you saved, and you wear those all the time? Yeah, that's where I am right now. But the good news is I can take it off, but the bad news is it's that, you know, as Tom Petty once said, I'm not dead yet. Now, as Tom Petty once said, the waiting is the hardest part. Anyway, it is 10 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you so much for being with us. David was going to be in studio with us the latter part of today's show. David received more accolades today, but the accolades, I think, were in Orleans County. And I did not want David driving in rush hour traffic like a maniac to get back here to do an hour of the radio show. That's not fair to David. David needs some downtime. He needs some rest and relaxation time. I think he'll be here some shows this week, but I don't know off the top of my head. So you're stuck with me. Sorry about that. So anyway, if you're just joining us, welcome to the program. And for those of you who only get to listen to the 5 o'clock hour, oh, you poor people. But those of you who only get to listen to the 5 o'clock hour, this is going to sound familiar. And I told you I was going to bring back the topic because people really got into the topic the other day. And the topic is your near-death experience. And it is not intended to be maudlin or depressing or morbid or anything like that. And there are several kinds of near-death experiences, the way I look at them. I mean, there is the classic near-death experience where there you are on the operating table or in the ER and you leave your body and you're looking down at all the doctors and nurses and medical people working on your body and you're flatlining and they bring you back into life. If you've been in that situation, would love to talk to you about what it was like. I mean, if you think that you crossed over or were about to cross over and you saw relatives, you saw the Lord, you saw whatever you saw, I'm fascinated by that, to be honest with you, because I've never had anything like that. And then there are the near-death experiences like you have a heart attack or a seizure or a traumatic incident, and the doctors cannot explain how you made it through, how you are still alive. And, of course, then there are the near-death experiences where you're driving down the road, tractor trailer comes right at you, and for reasons you will never understand, you were able to steer out of the way of the tractor trailer and escape unscathed. So, you know, you're on this planet long enough, and you definitely have had some of those experiences, and I'd like you to catalog what they were in your own mind and give us your one best story. And the phone number to call is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And one of the things I'll add to the topic is, how did your particular experience change you? And one of the things that people do not talk about, especially with cardiovascular events, because people don't like to admit it, and I think sometimes the doctors don't give you adequate preparation for this. If you've had a serious heart issue, heart attack, open heart surgery, all of the above, it is very common to go into a cardiac depression, which is kind of like post-traumatic stress. And a lot of people have a very difficult time coming to, for whatever it is. It seems more common with heart people than it does with certain other ailments. They have a very difficult time dealing with it. And I suspect that what it has to do with is, you know, we tend to, and again, I'm not trying to be maudlin or morbid or anything like that, but as human beings, you know, we live our lives and we all know that nobody gets out of here alive, but we never think it's going to be our time until we're 80 years old or 90 years old or however old we imagine ourselves being. And then when you come so close to not being here, sometimes the depression hits you immediately, and other times you kind of get through the acute phase of the heart attack or the surgery or whatever it was, and then a year and a half, 2 years down the line, you find yourself crying for no reason. You find yourself having a difficult time getting up out of bed. You find yourself not socializing as you used to socialize. And it can be, and I can't use the word that I think actually describes the feeling, but it can be a real mind messer-upper. So, you know, if you've been through that, I mean, it's paradoxical, because when you've been through a traumatic experience, you would think that joyful, dancing, gleeful gratitude would be what you would feel the most. But a lot of people go through emotional hell after such a trauma on the body. And I think the medical community, the cardiology people, I think they could do, and this is based on conversations I've had with a number of heart attack survivors. I mean, and these are people in responsible positions. Some are cops, some are doctors, they're responsible people. But I hear more often than not people who survived talking about the fact that the physical part was difficult, but the real difficult part was the depression that can come after the event. And we're not talking about depression like you want to do yourself in or you want to do harm to somebody else. They don't describe it like that. It's more of a coming to grips with human mortality. And how did it change you? I'm sorry, I threw a lot of stuff out there, and I apologize for piling on the topics. 803-0930, the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And in order, let's get to some phone calls, and it is Kathy in Alden. Kathy, welcome. You're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. I was sick this summer. I had some kind of an infection, which gave me a very, very high fever, even though I was taking medication, you know, aspirin for fever. And it also gave me a killer headache that it wasn't even a pounding headache. It was a constant buzzsaw of a headache. And I couldn't keep food or water down or anything. I finally passed out and went in, you know, slammed my face so hard that I literally was tearing my nose off my face. And it was what got me into the hospital. And at that point, all heck broke loose. They would start doing blood work and lots of different tests, and they were showing some liver damage and some kidney damage. And I started blowing veins when they were trying to draw blood, and I was a mess. And at one point, they said that my heart was stopping periodically, and they thought I should get a pacemaker. So they transferred me to Buffalo General.
Sure.
And while I was there, I was lying in bed at night. I couldn't sleep because it was the pain in my head was just horrific. I was wrapping my head with ice cubes, packs of ice cubes to keep the pain down. And I became aware of seeing my parents. My mom died in 76. My dad died in I think, 2006. They didn't speak to me. They looked like they did in the 1940s, which was actually before I was born. But they were just standing there looking at me, very concerned. And every once in a while, my mother would whisper something to my father, and they were just standing there. And I became completely calm and peaceful. It was like I knew if I died, everything was going to be okay. And I didn't die, obviously. I got better. But it was a life-changing experience. And a lot of my fear of dying has gone away because I was very anxious about getting older and approaching that time of my life, but I feel like that's gone now.
But I'm kind of curious about what was causing or the etiology, if you will, of the headaches. Did they do a lumbar puncture on you? Was there an excess of CSF in your brain?
They did so many tests, so many blood tests. They came to the conclusion it was some kind of an infection. It may have been tick-borne.
Mm.
And they did not really come to any conclusive determination of what it was.
So what was it then, since they couldn't figure out what was causing it, what happened to make it go away?
They put me on doxycycline and it went away.
Wow. So some kind of, is it safe to say it was a bacterial infection of some kind?
Yep.
Good Lord. Wow. That's something.
The organ damage that they were starting to see, that all reversed.
Oh, good, good.
Better.
Good. And is that something that you need to stay on top of, or was this like a one-and-done situation?
I think it's a one-and-done situation. I have to admit, though, like for weeks after I came home, I would not walk in grass. I just was like completely like, I don't want anything to do with any bugs ever again.
Well, you know, we did this past summer, we did a show on Lyme disease, got a lot of very nice emails from the local Lyme disease people. But, and I'm not saying what you had was Lyme disease, but it really brought home the idea that there are some ticks in our area that can bore into human beings and cause all kinds of difficulties, among them Lyme disease.
There are Lyme disease and several other diseases, and I had been vacationing in Columbia County, which
wow.
apparently is tick heaven for the north in the Northeast. It's one of the peak places.
Well, I know I mentioned this around that time, but local and noted attorney Paul Cambria was camping in the Adirondacks, and he was bitten by a brown recluse spider, which aren't supposed to be around here, but I know differently.
Right.
So, I mean, it's funny, but, I mean, these insects, they're so small but yet can do such incredible damage. Thank you very much for the call, and fascinating hearing about you seeing your parents. But it seemed real to you. It didn't seem like a hallucination.
It was very real.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks to Phil Kennedy, as always, doing a masterful job behind the scenes and providing me with some interesting artwork periodically on the whiteboard he uses to communicate with me. He is basically the Rembrandt of WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. Your near-death experiences. And here is Mark in Gettysville. Mark, thank you for your patience. You're on WBEN. Welcome. Oh, Mark. Well, okay, guys. Mark, if you're listening right now, I pressed on your button, which sounds very awkward. I pressed on your button, and then it's almost like I hung up on you, and I didn't hang up on you. So if you are Mark, call back, and I will move you to the head of the line with the next batch of calls. That might have been our phone issue and not yours, for which I do apologize. Here's Patricia in Tonawanda on WBEN. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, this is, Patricia. I'm calling about a near-death experience after a heart attack.
Okay.
I was in extreme distress in the ambulance. When we got to the hospital, when the door opened, a little voice in my head said, "We're out of here." And that was in a very dark place for a few seconds. Then I saw the light in the corner, blinding light at the end of this corridor. And when I looked down, I saw the EMTs pushing the gurney with my husband walking alongside.
So you were kind of like floating above your physical body?
Yes, I was.
Oh, keep going, because I know this might be painful for you, but I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, so they're pushing. I saw my husband walking alongside the gurney. When they got to the end of the corridor, they made a quick right turn and disappeared, and the light went out. That really scared me, and the voice in my head said, "Oh, my God, we'd better get back." So I flitted over in that direction they had gone and came to a bright room, and there was the gurney with all these people around it. So I snuck back in there and opened my eyes.
I have so many questions I want to ask you about this. Would you hold on through the news break and talk to me after the news more about this?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, if you've had a similar experience, definitely call. And I do have some open phone lines. You can either call now and snatch them while they're available or listen until the end of the newscast and when we head into the commercials and call then and maybe there'll be one open for you. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, I do try to be as respectful of your time on hold as I can be. Just understand, sometimes I can't control how long a caller is going to go or the detail into which a caller is going to go. So that can slow things up sometimes. But I am grateful for your patience on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, I'm back in the room on time. Hey, it is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program, and good to have you with us. Halloween, of course, is coming up. And I know how much you guys love the ghost shows we do. And by special arrangement with management here of WBEN, I will be doing a very special. Notice how it's always going to be like a very special. It'll be a very special Bowerly program, 7 to 10 on Sunday night, this coming Sunday. And it's going to be your ghost stories and your real life ghost stories. I don't really read fiction. I don't write fiction. Sci-fi is just not my bag. It never has been. And I like the real life stories that you guys tell. And we'll do it. And I think we're going to have a minimum of commercial interruptions, God forbid, 7 to 10 on Sunday night, this coming Sunday. And believe me, given my social calendar, which I'm very happy to tell you is pretty full with a lot of very nice people, I am delighted to come in on Sunday night to do the show with you because you guys are also a part of my social calendar. It's just that there's a little distance between us, between this microphone and your radio. But we'll get together on Sunday night, 7 to 10, for Ghost Stories on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're talking right now about your near-death experiences. They could be from an accident situation. They might be from a sudden health situation. It could be an out-of-body experience, one of those near-death experiences. And Patricia, prior to the break, if you're just joining us, Patricia told us about having her heart attack And when she was being wheeled into the hospital, she left her body. And she was basically watching her husband and watching the attendants, the ENTs, marching her on the stretcher through the hallways before she basically descended and went back into her body. Is that a fair recapitulation, Patricia, of what you said?
Yes, it is.
So at the time when you were watching yourself, what was going through your thought process? Did you have any sense that, wow, this isn't real, or this is remarkable, what's going on?
No, it was a little frightening, and one thing that popped into my head was, oh, good, my husband came in the ambulance. He's right here, so I'm not alone. And then they turned that corner and disappeared, and that really scared me.
And then can you describe what it was like to lose sight of your body but then catch up to it again?
Well, it's a good thing I did, I guess. I mean,
but like, did you swim through the air? Like sometimes we have dreams where we're swimming through the air. Was it one of those situations?
No, more like flying. I flew over there to that doorway that they had gone in.
So you have experienced this. Most of our audience, including your humble correspondent, we have not experienced it. What else was it like to be in that position? You're not the first person I've spoken to who has had this happen.
Well, you know, it sounds like it took a lot longer than it did. It was really only less than a minute. But, I mean, there was a feeling of relief when I turned that corner and saw that gurney.
When you were watching yourself on the stretcher being wheeled in the hospital, do you remember if your eyes were open or closed?
Oh, I must have been unconscious.
Therefore, your eyes would be closed?
Right, yeah. And the strange thing, you know, the EMT, my husband says, I'll follow the ambulance. And he says, no, you'd better come in the ambulance. This is critical.
Mm.
So, you know, then I think I went under again, and I didn't know what was happening. And so I don't know what he put on, what jacket he put on. It was early November when this happened.
So, my dear, after the actual event itself, and you were stabilized, and you were back in a conscious frame of mind, did you tell your husband things about what had happened that you should not have known because to all the world you were unconscious, but you were able to tell him happened?
Well, what I saw was what he was wearing, was his black jacket and a white cap. That's what I saw in the emergency room. And that's what I saw when they were pushing the gurney in. So, I mean, I must have actually saw him.
So, the big picture, the 35,000-foot view, what do you think you experienced and what was its significance?
Well, I guess they say that that's just your lack of oxygen to your brain and you're hallucinating.
Right.
But I'm sure that this isn't the only place we're ever going to be. There must be someplace else.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating story. It truly is. And are you doing okay since the heart attack, not just the physical stuff, but also the emotional stuff?
Well, since then, I have a different outlook because I used to think, gee, as I got older, I've been getting stronger, and I had been going to the weight room, which they told me is what saved my life. And, you know, I felt strong, and I felt so good about myself. I had been doing some traveling, and now I think nothing is certain.
Do you feel some degree of trepidation about overdoing it, even though they strongly encourage cardiovascular exercise after an infarction?
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
So you still full speed ahead on that?
Pretty much. I'm not as strong as I was, but I think that's partly an issue as we get older, because this was 5 years ago.
Yeah, partially, but, I mean, you were in good shape, and glad to hear that you're still alive and well to tell us your story. Thank you very much.
Okay.
803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And no, I did not have any out-of-body experience. I wasn't anything like that. I didn't see the light. On the other side, I didn't see the darkness. It was just an event. And first thing I did getting to the ER was I did a Facebook Live video while I was having the heart attack. I think it's still up. Caution, I think I dropped some F-bombs in there, but I think the caution is on the video. But I do take some pride, I think, in being the first person in the history of Facebook to do a Facebook Live video under such circumstances. My little claim to fame. Let's go to Mark in Gettysville on WBEN. Mark, have you had a near-death experience, sir?
Yes, Tom, I did a couple of them.
Well, what was the most vivid one?
Well, it was when I went in for a craniectomy. And as I was wheeled into the surgery room, you know, the meds starting to take effect, and he told me, well, you got to sign one more time because you might die. So, yes, it did change my outlook on life. I was a coach before that for all kinds of sports, including your son. But then after that, I really didn't care too much about sports. And to this day, I watched Bills and Sabres, but it's like, eh. What's the difference?
Well, now, craniectomies are used to relieve pressure in the skull or in the brain. What was the cause? Why did you need to have that done?
It is called an epidermoid tumor, which started to grow when I was conceived. Apparently, from what I understand, a piece of hair or something got in through the tube and started to grow this tumor.
Oh.
Myself. And after years and years, oh, I guess I was about 45 or so, pain in the neck would not go away. And a very astute physician said, well, you should go have an MRI. And they're like, oh, you got this orange-sized tumor in the back of your head. You better take that out now.
Wow.
Yeah, that was even. And so then it was only a matter of months after that I had a double bypass. And the guy said, oh, yeah, this is a Widowmaker. We better do this now. I was like, yeah, whatever. Go ahead.
Were you able to get that done before you had a heart attack?
I did not have a heart attack.
But they were able to prevent it by seeing the danger signs in the formation.
No, I felt the angina. And so I better go have this checked out. And the guy said, I'm not sure. I'll go send you for a stress test. And then all of a sudden, there was the ambulance on its way for me.
Wow. Well, thank God you had it done. I mean, they don't call it the Widowmaker without a good reason. I think, was it Rosie O'Donnell or Roseanne Barr who also survived the Widowmaker heart attack? I mean, you know, there's a tendency, unfortunately, for women, because it's called the Widowmaker, to think that women can't have the same thing, and yet they do.
Right.
And the symptoms of heart attacks in women, and ladies, please look this up on the internet when you get home. Ladies' heart attack symptoms can be different than a man's heart attack symptoms. And from person to person, the symptoms can be different. I always thought a heart attack would be some massive explosion of pain in the chest. And I think I was in denial when I was having my heart attack. I mean, Phil can vouch for this. I was in total denial of what was going on for a week.
Yes, I had the pains for a week or a couple weeks, and then I said, I should get it checked. But then they told me, no, you never had a heart attack.
Well, thank God for that. But the craniectomy and being told that you basically have to sign the waiver that this may not have a happy outcome, that can put you into a different frame of mind. May I ask, sir, if it has changed your life, your outlook, your attitude at all?
Oh, yes, it certainly has. Like I said, sports to me don't mean that much. I mean, I still participate, but it's like, yeah, whatever.
But, I mean, in general, would you say that on a day-to-day basis, like in your dealings with other people, you have changed, or your thoughts on life in general and what is important beside the sports have changed?
Yes. so that they, those aren't as important. What is important is family and friends. And I make sure I get together and have a good time with them anytime I can.
Double amen to that, because that I will tell you that, I mean, that had started to change for me before I went through what I went through. But since I went through what I went through, family and friends have become of primary importance. And I have tried very much to turn the routines of everyday living into, into more social events instead of trying to bifurcate between work and social life. Just it changes you. If it doesn't change you, there's something wrong, and hopefully it changes you for the better, and it sounds like it did.
Yes, I agree, and I appreciate your reminders on that, because it does remind me. You know, it's been a couple of years, so you start to maybe kind of forget about it, but it reminds me every day. And I make sure on my walk into work every morning, I thank some superior power and everyone around me for another day on this planet.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the call. Very much appreciated. And yeah, it is. And those of you who've been through it, and there's a lot of you, some of you served in the military and had close calls. Some of you just civilians with close calls, and it can't help but change you. And hopefully the changes are for the better, especially once you get past that initial post-traumatic stress, or once you get past that initial depression, as you realize the fragility of life, and you can turn it into a positive experience. So, Governor Cuomo, what do you think of all this?
And rather than spend the money on filling holes in the dike, let's build a new dike.
Words to live by. Let's go to West Seneca and MJ. You're on WBEN. MJ, hello.
Hi.
Hey.
So I did have, I did not have an out-of-body experience, but I did have an experience that I believe was a presence that was otherworldly in my vehicle when I was 17 years old, and I've never forgotten that feeling of such a presence. I've never had that again, but I'm convinced that I experienced something that was special. And what had happened was I was in summer school. I was 17 years old. I'm in summer school, and I was very, very arrogant driver, very like a self-centered 17-year-old, and I'm pulling out of East Senior, and I'm making a left turn. So I'm looking out the driveway, and I'm looking to my right. I'm making a left turn, but I'm looking to my right to see any cars coming. And once it was clear, I just gunned it to make a left. And, you know, this car out of nowhere, because I'm not paying attention all the way, comes out. And I felt something in that, in 1 second, I felt something stop the car, like, well, my foot hit the pedal, but I feel like I do not have a fast reaction time, but my body just slammed on the brake, like right before our cars would have collided, right before I believe I would have been T-boned, like completely. And I'll never forget that presence. And I felt a safeness.
Mm-hmm.
I felt completely safe and just like horrified that I felt horrified at the same time that there was something with me in that car that made my car stop.
So, MJ, you know yourself and your circumstances better than anybody else could possibly know them. What or whom do you believe it was? What was that presence in the car with you?
Well, the only thing, immediately, because I've thought about it since then, but immediately I have, from what I felt at that moment when I was 17 till right now, I don't think it was a particular person, but some kind of like an angel type of presence. That's the only thing I immediately felt like, oh my gosh, there was an angel just saved me.
Hmm.
So that is what I felt.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because at some point in the not-too-distant future, I want to do the show Do You Believe in Angels? That's another one I do once every year, once every couple of years, and it's fascinating to get people's responses. I have, obviously, I can't come up with an explanation as to what that presence was and why you felt it then to the exclusion of all other times, given the circumstances which followed, but it's an interesting story, my dear, and I'm glad you called in.
Thank you.
All right, there's MJ, and it is 5:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We've got the 6 o'clock news with Mr. Tom Puckett coming up, and more traffic as well in the next hour. And tomorrow morning, of course, it is our morning news program with Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski. 9 until noon, the legend is back, Mr. Sandy Beach, live on the radio. We've all missed him, and he'll be back tomorrow, 9 to noon, on News Radio 930 WBEN.